When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yep, rolling along, Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I just picked up the phone to glance through what's going on out there. You know, Jack Nicholson, the actor, not Jack Nicholas, the golfer. Jack Nicholson, the actor, is 87 years old. 87. It's just hard for me to believe. You don't have a sense of just how important a person he is in the history of American cinema, because you're just like a Vulcan and not a human. But for all other people, they're going, oh my God, I can't believe Jack is 87.
That's crazy. The big basketball fan you're referring to?
You only know him as the guy sitting courtside at Laker games in sunglasses for all these years. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, happy birthday, Jack. He's just something else. We got a million things in the hopper, much more basketball as we go. Sneaky Hembo trivia question number two. Big words being spoken by one young NBA star. We'll get to all of that, but first let's do some questions.
I have only one question.
So here's the deal. Hembo has put together, you sent out to the entire group, just a list of questions as we prepare for the NFL draft. So these were meant to be questions that we will ask our analysts on Get Up. And we all thought, well, what a perfect thing to do here. Let's have you go through some of these questions, and we, the members of the Hashtag crew, will answer them as we bear down on Thursday night.
Is Caleb Williams walking into a ready-made contender or the middle of a rebuild?
So I'm not 100% sure I understand the distinction between those two things. He's not walking into a team that is the beginning of a rebuild. So when you are in the middle of a rebuild, I think you sort of are a contender. To me, that is the definition of a contender. They probably don't have all the pieces put in place where they want them yet, but this draft could change that. They have the first and ninth picks, which I assume by now most people know. They will make some really fascinating decisions. I was on Waddle and Sylvie's show about 2 weeks ago, which is the afternoon show on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, sort of the best finger on the pulse of what the Chicago fans want of anybody. And I really got the sense they want the Bears to take a defensive player, like a pass rusher.
At nine?
Well, you could probably trade back and do that.
That's what they should do.
If they're interested in doing that, they could probably trade back and do that. If Rome Odunze, or God help us, Joe Alt, is sitting there at nine, the Jets should be trying to trade up and get Joe Alt for sure. And if Odunze is there, I'm guessing a lot of teams might trade up there.
I think you're going to see the Bears move down. They pick at nine, and then not again until 75. That's what I think they're likeliest to do, and get a defensive player in the middle of round one.
My point is, I think you're making a little bit of a distinction without a difference. I think you're walking into something like a team on the verge of being a legitimate contender, depending on how quickly the quarterback gets up to speed. And the quarterback, let's call it Caleb Williams now, because we all know that's who they're taking, is walking into the best situation of any number one overall pick I can remember. Like, I can't think of one in the history of the sport that's probably been better, but I can't think of one in recent memory. Can you?
No. How close are they to Green Bay or Detroit?
I mean, this is a cop-out answer. How good is the quarterback going to be? Like, if you told me the quarterback is going to be real good, I would tell you they're right there.
Are you sure they're in better shape than Minnesota?
No, I'm not sure of that at all. I mean, but neither one of those teams has a quarterback. We know who the Bears quarterback is going to be. We have no idea who Minnesota's quarterback is going to be. If they're in way better shape than Minnesota if Minnesota's quarterback is Sam Darnold.
No doubt.
Sam, I'm sorry to say it. You know I love you. But the reality is we ruined him, and he's not coming back from that at this point. It's become obvious.
So you think the answer to this question is both. They are a ready-made contender and still in the midst of the rebuild.
But I think if a rebuild goes on a scale of 1 to 10, meaning like when you're starting it, you're 1, and when you're, if everything goes right, a Super Bowl contender, you're 10, I think they're something like 7.
Oh, wow.
You don't?
I think they're closer to a 3 or a 4.
Why do you say that?
Mostly because of the constitution of the division. That's my That's my biggest thing, because Caleb Williams is going to have to be really good in order to play over the next 2 or 3 years in that division, because Green Bay and Detroit are the two best teams in it moving forward, in my opinion.
Well,
it's a tough place to be.
So let's say, and someone sent me this note for Thursday night, I agreed with it. The NFC North, I believe, shapes up to be the best division in the NFL.
That's right.
That's fine, and that's fair. But you're drafting Caleb Williams because you think he's going to be a superstar, right? You think you're going to have a great quarterback, maybe not immediately, but pretty soon. These guys, the ones who turn out to be great, tend to be great in their second year. Joe Burrow was great in his second year. Patrick Mahomes was great in his second year, which technically was his first year starting. Lamar Jackson was the MVP of the league in his second year. If you're only a year away from Caleb Williams being that level of good, this defense was way better last year. Second half of the season,
number
their
one
defense was pretty
the whole
good.
League.
They've added pieces to that. They used that second round pick that we're talking about them not having is because they traded it for Montez Sweat, who's a better defensive player than they were ever going to get with a second round pick in this draft. So I think they have a chance to be really good, but it's all going to depend on the quarterback.
If I set the over-under right now at 8.5 wins for them,
this year?
2024. Right now. How would you lean?
What'd they win last year? Six?
Seven.
Seven.
They finished the year really strong.
Yeah.
And then they gave their quarterback away.
Yeah, but I hear you, but I think they're going to go over.
You think that's a winning team? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do a sandwich bet on that one. I think they'll finish fourth in the division this year.
You think they're going to finish fourth?
I think Minnesota is going to be better.
Who are you projecting Minnesota's quarterback?
I think they'll move up and get May or McCarthy. That's what I think is going to happen this week. In which case, I think that person is plugged into a much better offensive environment than Caleb Williams.
Well, we had a good argument about this on Get Up, of which I was not part last week, between Lewis Riddick and Mel Kiper. And what I was really happy about with that was that America got to hear what I get to hear all the time, which is on all of our calls, Mel and Lewis just go at it. They are two opinionated dudes. And they will go at it with you on their opinions. But Lewis Riddick strongly agrees with you that whichever quarterback winds up in Minnesota is in great shape.
That's the spot.
And Mel believes the same of Chicago. The biggest differentiator there to me is the coaching. So how much confidence do you have in Shane Waldron putting together a great offense for the young quarterback in Chicago relative to Kevin O'Connell, who is a former quarterback and is a quarterback centric coach.
Yeah, he's excellent.
And got the best out of Kirk Cousins and others. You know, the supporting cast in Minnesota is ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. No rookie has ever walked into a situation with receivers and tackles as good as they have. I mean, they have all of the building blocks in place for a rookie to take off.
I wasn't even planning to go here, but is Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver in the league?
If Justin Jefferson is healthy, if you give me 17 games of his, which we did not get last year, I don't know who's better.
How about Chase and T. Higgins?
Or Hill and Waddle, or Brown and Devontae Smith in Philly. But Justin Jefferson is so good, like Hall of Fame good early in his career. They've got Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill as the tackles. You've got the head coach and the OC, and Josh McCown, by the way, as your QB coach. It's like the perfect infrastructure for a rookie quarterback.
Cam, who wins more games this year, the Bears or the Vikings this year?
The Bears, but I think it'll be like 8 wins versus 7 wins or something. I think they're going to be bunched close, and I think the Packers and Lions are going to be bunched close, but I think it's going to be Lions, Packers, Bears, then Vikings.
All right, let's move on.
You ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
Not the one I meant to hit. I meant to hit one question, but it's the same thing. Go.
How does Washington's apparent lack of conviction inform what they do with the number 2 pick?
Well, that's really interesting. So that's a good question for our analysts, and I think that the answer would be a significant pushback, which is to say they don't have a lack of conviction. They're bringing in all of these guys for their top golf dog and pony show last week was actually just their way of killing time before the draft, and maybe just to confirm what they already believed, which is our guy is going to be blank, and we think that guy is Jaden Daniels. I don't think that is going to be an issue. Bubba, are you worried about Washington not being convicted enough in whatever they're going to do at number 2?
No, I think it's all just kind of a smokescreen, and they know what they're going to do. And I think they're going to take Jaden Daniels, and all this other stuff is just noise, just like we talked about last year, the odds changing. And they know what they're going to do, and they're going to take Jaden Daniels.
Here's what I would – let me just throw this out at you, okay? If you're them, and you're not in love with Jaden Daniels. You're in heavy like. You really like Jaden Daniels. You'd like to enter a long-term relationship, but you're not ready to put a ring on it yet. Then would, and someone is offering you three ones for the rights to take him, and you could still get a quarterback in this draft and see how that goes. And by the way, maybe not even using a one on that player, maybe using some of the capital that you get to trade back into the first round and taking Bo Nix, who has, I mean, he's as old as most of the young quarterbacks in the NFL and has started. He has started more games. This is a legitimate statistic. He has started more college football games than any college football quarterback who ever lived. So he's as experienced as you can be. Would you take three ones and draft Bo Nix with the, you know, trade back in and get him with the 23rd pick?
I think the teams that wind up winning this draft are the teams that wind up trading down. And generally speaking, when we have quarterback-rich drafts, it is those teams that wind up winning. Because as we know, the hit rate on quarterbacks is less than 50-50, even in the first round. Teams are all in, invested in trading up to take one, giving up three first-round picks to do it. That's the best way to build a team, is by taking high-end shots in the draft through volume. If I'm the Commanders and I don't absolutely love Jaden Daniels, I'm absolutely trading down and building my roster around that trade. That is the smartest thing to do. And by the way, it would be the smartest thing for New England to do at three.
Well, and let's say you equally love, okay, so the New England. So I was going to say, if you equally love all three, do you move back one spot and add a little something and let New England take the guy they want? If you equally love all four, and again, Caleb Williams doesn't even really count for this, but
right,
let's just say it that way. If you kind of equally love all four, do you get cute and move back a little farther?
I'm all about getting cute. Piling up those assets. The smartest team this year, if this path
exists.
Would you
feel confident going back to six that you'll still get a quarterback?
No, I would not be confident. Teams are going to be too reckless in moving up, I think. I wouldn't be confident going beyond four, to be honest with you.
Well, Arizona's not coming up.
No, they're not coming up.
So then you're not moving back to four.
Well, what I mean is I wouldn't go further back than that. If I was Washington and I really wanted a quarterback, I wouldn't be willing to go to five. Because I could see Washington, I could see Arizona trading back.
So Graziano was telling us on TV today that it is becoming increasingly suspected. I'm not sure what the right word I'm using here is. That there's an increasing belief that for the first time in history, we could have quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and 4. That would involve Arizona trading back.
It's just
if you're
hilarious.
Arizona, so let's live like this. Do you love one receiver that much more than the other? Because if you're Arizona, you can 100%, if someone's coming up to take a quarterback mm-hmm. from you and you know that, then you can 100% confidently move back. Let's just say that someone is the Giants. You can 100% move back to six and still be assured of getting either Harrison or Neighbors.
And you might be able to net an extra one in the process.
Right.
Arizona is in a great spot in this draft.
And I'll keep saying the guy the Giants should get is Drake May, not J.J. McCarthy.
100%.
Unless they project J.J. McCarthy to be better eventually, which would fly in the face of everything everyone I know says.
If there's a team that's willing to draft Drake May and do it the right way, be patient. That team in 3 years is going to come out smelling like a rose.
Okay, I've got a quote here on the doc, and this is from the Shannon and Ocho podcast. So I'm just going to read this. Who's saying this?
Jaden Daniels.
Oh, it's from Jaden Daniels himself. Here we go. Jaden Daniels on the Shannon and Ocho. It's called Nightcap, the Shannon and Ocho podcast. Jaden Daniels said, I don't know how they're going to pull it off. That's above my pay grade. AP, meaning Antonio Pierce, just as a human being, he's the right coach for that team, meaning the Raiders. You know, just him and the intensity that he brings. He challenges people. He was challenging me at 18. So I know if I was to go to the Raiders, I'm not saying I'm going to go there or I want to go there. I want to go wherever my name is called. If I was to go to the Raiders, I know as soon as I step foot, he's going to challenge me. So look, he wants to go to the Raiders. The Raiders would love to get him. His family, it is an open secret in the draft world that they would love to find a way to make that happen, meaning Jaden and his camp. But that's very hard to do.
Can't do it.
Washington has to be willing to play along. If you have to go up to number two to get him, the Raiders are going to have to get, I don't even know what you would have to give up to go from 13 to 2.
Can't do it. I mean, it's never happened before. I'm looking at all the instances in which a team moved up to two to draft a quarterback, and the furthest back anyone ever traded back from is six.
Well, where was San Francisco when they traded up to get the third pick with Trey Lance a couple of years ago?
I'll look that up. That's
they
a different.
They wouldn't have been back.
I mean, they're further back.
Way back.
Yeah, much further back.
Now, it's the third pick, not the second pick.
Because that's what we're assuming that Vegas would have to get to, right?
We're assuming that Vegas would have to get to two, but I'm saying, like, there's precedent for three. You're telling me there's no precedent for two, and I'm telling you perhaps not, but there is precedent
for
three.
They had the 12th pick that year. They had
That was the year they all got hurt. So they weren't coming off a season where – you're right. That is the one year they weren't picking, like, 27.
That's right.
Okay, fair enough. Sneaky Hembo trivia, group trivia. Let's go.
Group trivia. Quarterbacks have gone 1, 2, and 3 in the draft three times. When we come back, we're going to go year by year. You'll give me the top three picks. In all 3 years, quarterbacks went 1, 2, 3 in the draft.
I can do this. The answer is next on ESPN Radio. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. A reminder that starting stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone with AutoZone. All right. Hembo knows I know two of these. Go ahead with the question.
Quarterbacks have gone 1, 2, and 3 in the draft three times. We're going to go year by year, and you're going to give me the top three picks in all three of those drafts.
Okay, so I can give you two of them right off the top of my head. Bubba and Cam, I'll just go with these. I'm not even going to bother with the dings. I know they're right. So I know that a few years ago was the first draft that I was privileged to host for ESPN. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance went 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was right. And then the first time it ever happened, I want to say it was 99. I'm not 100% sure what year it was, but it was Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, and Achilles Smith went 1, 2, and 3.
That's correct as well.
Yeah. What year was that?
1999.
It was 99. Okay. And I'm almost positive, guys, going back to that, that when it happened, that was unprecedented, that it hadn't happened yet. So I want to say
that was the first.
I think
okay.
so.
Okay, interesting.
So I want to say that the other time that it's happened was more recently than that. But I can't think of one. Roethlisberger was not the third pick. In fact, Phillip Rivers wasn't even the second pick.
Right.
The year of Eli, Roethlisberger, and Rivers.
The one I was thinking of, I know the top two were Goff and Wentz. Can we think of another 2016 one?
Not that went third. Yeah. I don't think so. And Andrew Luck and RG3 went 1 and 2. Like, there's been a million 1 and 2s.
Yeah.
A million. It's very common.
But Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf went 1 and 2. I don't remember a third. So
you got to go farther back, man. 1999 was not the first time it happened.
Okay. Oh. Got to go farther back. Do we got to go?
This might be one where I have to give you the year, but once I do, I think you have a good chance of getting it, although it's not certain.
Okay, give me the year.
The year is 1971.
Oh. We're going all the way back to that. 1971. All right. One of them is going to be Jim Plunkett.
That's correct. He was the first pick.
Archie Manning was the second pick. That's right.
That's also correct.
Oh, boy.
So you're just missing the third overall pick in the 1971 draft. Oof.
Here we are.
Oof.
And so here we are thinking of the third pick. It was. Okay, so 71. Who were the really good young quarterbacks in the early 70s? It's not Stabler. It's not Greasy. It's not Bradshaw.
Me to give you the team?
No. If you give it too easy. The Kansas City quarterback. I'm not sure who you're thinking of.
No, I think
Brandon is just here saying random.
Yeah,
things.
Brandon is just speaking aloud.
Did
for
he
no
say
reason.
Len Dawson?
Len Dawson?
Len no, Dawson played.
No, Len Dawson was drafted the same year as Jim Brown. He was drafted way, 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 way before that. Len Dawson won the Super Bowl before the time
year
you're
before
talking
that.
About. Yeah. There's a young. I'm going to say.
I don't know.
Bubba, do you have anything?
I got no idea.
The third
no.
pick in the 71 draft.
What about Grogan?
No.
Okay.
No. There's a name that's jumping into my head for no reason whatsoever. I'm thinking of young quarterbacks who were really good at the time. There's a part of me, I don't know, I want to say Dan Pastorini for no reason at all. What?
Wow.
That's right!
Oh, Dan Pastorini.
Wow.
How about that? From Houston. I was just thinking of him because I was thinking, who did the Steelers beat all those years in the playoffs? And that Oakland came up, Miami came up, and then I thought about the one year they played Houston on the catch in the back of the end zone. They got called back.
Wow.
And that's how instant replay was born. Dan Pastorini.
That is the one that you were not supposed to get.
Later, I
good
think,
for you.
Didn't Pastorini eventually get traded for Stabler, if I'm not mistaken? I think they got traded for each other at sometime like in the late 70s, and that's how Plunkett wound up with the Raiders and wound up winning two championships there, even though Stabler will forever be remembered, I think, by most as the great quarterback of that era for Oakland.
Yep.
And by that time, they were in L.A. anyway.
1980, they were traded for each other.
1980. How about that?
That wow. is.
See, Hembo made a point earlier. It's a good point. I remember things from my childhood so much better than I remember things that happened yesterday. Like, I can't. There were things that have happened today. Like, I'll give you an example. Is he in the room? No. Jack introduced me to his dad. Very nice guy. No idea what his first name is now. Met him this morning. He shook my hand. Hello, I'm someone, Bartek. And I shook his hand and I welcomed him and I was delighted to meet him. God's honest truth. Right now, if you gave me a multiple choice, I couldn't tell you his name.
Mary Caitlin, Catherine.
Right. Is it Kate?
Mary. But you remember that Dan Pastorini was the third pick in 71.
I didn't. It was process of elimination. That was a miracle guess.
But the fact that you pulled that name, I mean, he's not. I mean, he had a very ordinary career.
He was a good player.
56 and 61 for his career, 3 playoff wins, but not well remembered.
He was the quarterback in Houston before they got, at some point before they got Warren
right.
Moon. There
mm-hmm.
probably was someone in between there. Pastorini was a good player. I just couldn't, you know what, I couldn't think of anybody else. Like that era, I'm glad I didn't think of Dan Fouts because I would have. Where was Fouts drafted?
Way later, I think.
He wasn't a first-round pick, was he?
Fouts?
I think he was late 70s.
Third-round pick in 73.
73.
Oh, that early. Wow.
Yeah, 2 years later. Yeah, that was okay. Well, listen. I mean, you know.
You're a child of the 70s.
mine is. Listen, no one knows more about sports in the 70s than I do. All right. We'll get back to some of those football questions. I'd like to get into something that Anthony Edwards said on NBA Today, because I think this could make for a really fun one here. We'll make it an I'm sorry what.
I'm sorry what?
I'm sorry what?
I'm sorry what?
I'm sorry what?
So Anthony Edwards, young superstar on the Minnesota Timberwolves, who I'm here to tell you, if he played on one of the five glamour franchises in the NBA, would be the biggest star in the sport, right? The biggest. Maybe the kid in San Antonio's name, just Wembanyama, is the only guy who people would be saying has a bigger future. Luka Doncic does not have a brighter future than Anthony Edwards. I love Luka. He's phenomenal. But Anthony Edwards is ridiculous. Did you see him talking trash in the face of Kevin Garnett the other day?
Great moment.
I mean, in
Durant.
His face. What did I say?
Garnett.
I said Garnett. Okay. See, this is the point.
Just
I remember Dan
point
Pastorini.
More and more.
I remember Dan Pastorini, but I can't remember what happened Saturday. Obviously, I mean Durant. Anthony Edwards is in his face talking trash and just lit him up, and they were going at it. And I think Durant, down deep inside, I think Durant respected it. Like, I'm sure he wasn't having a good time in the moment. He was smiling, trying to laugh it off. But I mean, Anthony Edwards was just destroying everybody. That kid is so good, and he has so much heart and fire. Look up how many games he's played in every season since he came in the league. That's one of the things I love about him. One of the reasons I first started paying attention to him was that he played every game, and he said that was a priority for him because people paid money to see him play.
72, 72, 79, 79.
Yeah, see, he plays when he's healthy because he wants the fans to get a chance to see him because they paid their money to see him. He made that comment, and it's always stuck in my head. You know, that's a sort of a thing with me. So I love him. Anyway, he's on NBA Today with Malika and Austin Rivers. And the question is, how much better do you believe you will get in the coming years? And here's what he said.
I'm probably at like 40% right now.
40%, that's it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just in year four, man. I think people forget that I'm 22. Like, I'm not even touching my prime yet. I'm just 22, I'm year four. Still trying to figure out like my spots and where I like to go and what side of the court I like to be on. I still ain't figured that out yet. But I feel like I'm just about like 40%.
40%? Austin, you think that's you've seen it up close.
No, that sounds about right. I think, you know, we're 2-3 years away from you being the best basketball player in the NBA. I'm going to make sure it is, too, because I'm going to stay on you. And we're going to get the
for
ones
sure.
in the summer, too.
2 or 3, is that a prophecy that you're willing to take him up on? 2 or 3 years, you're going to be the best player in the NBA, Ant?
Yeah, I 100% Absolutely. Agree with him for sure. About 2 or 3 years, yeah.
Okay, so that's interesting. I'm glad I listened to it because I will confess, I read that bite and I thought he had just offered it. Now, it turns out that Austin is saying it and he's co-signing it, which I'm totally comfortable with. And they were teammates. And so that's the sort of the history of that relationship. He is 22 years old, people. Are you watching this kid play? He is 22 years old. So I would say right now, if you were starting a team, And you could take any player in the league to start it with, my order, just based on their ages, would be Wembanyama 1, Anthony Edwards 2.
I have the same list. The same list. And I think you could make an argument that Anthony Edwards should be 1 just based on the position that he plays, because the ball's going to be in his hands more frequently. And it's wings that win championships.
Here's the other thing I'll say. I don't know what Wembanyama's going to be. Like, I don't know that he isn't just going to change the game as we think we know it. I don't know what he can't do. He's 7'5" with small forward-esque skills.
Yeah, we've not seen it.
He is a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year, by the way. Remember, we didn't have the guts to vote for him. We wanted to vote for him for Defensive Player of the Year, and we didn't.
I want to say that we did.
No, I think we voted him second.
After Gobert?
I think we voted him second.
Either way, the point remains, he's one of the best defensive players in the league already.
He's on his way to easily being the best defender in the NBA. Maybe the best we've ever seen based on the versatility of the things he can do on the defensive end with a skill set on the offensive side that that eventually, I'm not going to say he's going to be Durant because that's too much. But I'm trying to think.
He could be Dirk.
Offensively.
I think he could be Dirk offensively and Hakeem Olajuwon
with better handles. I mean, Dirk didn't have, like Dirk was a legit 7 feet tall. I don't know what they listed Dirk at, but I remember Mike and I went down there and did a show, and he came and did our show with us in Dallas. And when he walked in the door and I stood up to shake his hand, I couldn't believe how tall Dirk is. I've been around basketball players my whole life. I started covering the NBA in 1991. So I know how tall these guys are. Dirk is freaking tall. But Wembanyama could, I mean, eat apples off the top of his head.
7'3".
And I think he's more than that.
He might be.
I think he's more than 7'3". You see him standing next to Shaq?
That was wild.
Did you see that video?
Yeah.
He looks like Shaq's dad. I mean, he's so big and so athletic. I would take him.
Yeah, I think
it'd
be
him one, Anthony Edwards.
It'd be hard not to take the unicorn, but at least in Anthony Edwards' case, like, you've seen players with that skill set become the generational superstar. And in Wembanyama's case, I guess you'd be taking a chance because he's a one of one. When I watch Anthony Edwards play, you see shades of Kobe Bryant. You see Dwayne Wade. You see great players of yesteryear. You see it happening in real time. At 22 years old, he does the thing that very few guys can do. And he could just take over a quarter of a playoff game. He scored 18 points in the third quarter of that game. It was breathtaking. Over his last five playoff games dating to last year, it's 35 a game on 51% shooting. In what traditionally would have been his first year in the NBA coming out of college, he's spectacular.
I have a theory for another reason why he's not as well known.
Hmm.
Because, A, he went to Georgia, so he didn't go to Kentucky, Duke, Connecticut, you know, one of these schools that everyone's watching all the time. But two, and more importantly, Cam and Bubba, he was in the 2020 draft, which is the COVID year. So the draft was held, it was held like in November, right? Like the Lakers won the title in the bubble in October, I want to say, or early November. And then they held the draft. So it was a draft that got no attention.
Yeah, November 18th.
Right. November. So it was a draft that no one paid attention
to. It was here. Yeah, via Zoom, basically.
Right. I mean, this was the height of COVID.
And there was no NCAA tournament.
There was no NCAA tournament. And no one, right, that's right. They had to cancel the tournament that year because of COVID. And the NBA was in the bubble. And the draft kind of came and went with almost no attention. But like that guy, so he didn't get the usual buildup you would get as the first pick in the draft and all of that. And then he went to a smaller market team. But here they are. I mean, if Cat doesn't get hurt this year, they're the one seed in the West, right? They're the best. Mm-hmm. They were the best team in the West all year long until they had that injury. And, like, he's that good. He Cam, right now, I'm giving you can start a team with any young player in the NBA. How many names are you naming before you get to Edwards?
I think I'm with you guys. I would probably think about Luka before him, but I'm a huge Anthony Edwards guy. Like,
Else is in the discussion? Who else are we even talking about?
SGA.
SGA is how old?
23, I think. 23 or 24. Luka's 25. Ant's 22. Victor's, you know,
Anthony Edwards has the best body I've ever seen on a basketball player.
Whoa.
I mean, his...
Hold up.
But he's not wrong. He's 100% right.
I can't go on.
All right.
But
who's going to be the best player in 2 to 3 years?
Cam,
and who's going to have the best body?
Anthony Edwards really lights my rocket.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
What? What did you just say? I don't even know what that means.
Okay.
Yeah, no one does.
Cam, you want to fill him in on...
No. In fact, I want this... I want to just pretend that was never said.
Strike that from the record and we'll just move on. Yes,
I will instruct the jury to disregard that testimony and get back to this here for a minute. Anthony Edwards...
Great body.
Who else? If we're going to put together... Okay, let's look into the future.
Is there an age cutoff here or just...
No, so let's look into the future. 5 years from now, what will be our first team All-NBA? Who will be first team All-NBA? It's positionless. First team All-NBA 5 years from now.
5 years from now.
So let's talk about who we're going to put on it this year. Jokic, is he going to still be on it?
No.
How old is Jokic?
He's almost 30, right? So he's going to have a tough time 5 years from now. Because, he's 29.
With his girth?
He's 29.
You're saying, he's not going to age well?
I think his game's going to translate.
Yeah, but 5 years is a long time in basketball years.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron will still be there, obviously.
Well, I'm just going through who the first team All-NBA this year was Jokic, Giannis. How old is Giannis?
Giannis could be on that list.
Is he going to age well?
I would think so. Giannis is... Giannis is 29.
Jason Tatum?
Tatum should be on that short list. He should definitely be on the short
SGA
list.
And Luka.
SGA.
Those are the guys.
Tatum's only 26 still.
Tatum's 26, and then Luka.
SGA is 25.
That's who the first team All-NBA is going to be. It's going to be Jokic,
unless
Giannis,
Brunson sneaks in there.
Tatum, SGA, and Luka. Unless who?
Unless Jalen Brunson
sneaks in ahead of Tatum?
Yes.
I don't expect it. Okay, even so, let's include Jalen Brunson. It's not going to be him. So the first team, the guys who are going to crash that party are, because by that time, to Cam's joke notwithstanding, and it was well played, LeBron may actually have retired. I mean, we're not going to say Zion, right? I mean, just can't count on him.
You mentioned earlier how much you like Paolo Banchero. I think he's outstanding.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
What is he, 21?
Yes.
Something like that.
21 or 22.
He played 1 year.
I just don't know if that's first team All NBA is in his future. He's 21. He was excellent this year.
Yeah, he's great.
What about Tyrese Maxey?
I don't know that's such a high ceiling to be a top five player in the NBA. I don't know.
Let's do that. Let's pause briefly. We'll come back and we will pick, and we're going to put this in the time capsule, and we will check this. When the first team All NBA team is announced for the year 2029, let's see if we can get the five names or how many of the five names we get right. Right after this on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and now a list of things from Progressive Insurance. Home, auto, boat, motorcycle, RV, ATV. Progressive protects them all. Learn more about bundling at progressive.com. So we have a fun little exercise working here. A Pineapple Jack, you could jump on a mic and help us figure these out if you want with Pineapple Jack's dad in the house. Here we go, guys. Is it we're going to remember, we're going to write these names down, we're going to remember them. 5 years from now, so in 2029, who will be the five people on the NBA's first team All-NBA list? A reminder that that is positionless as it is now. This year's list we are expecting to be Nikola Jokic, Giannis, Tatum, SGA, and Luka. So we started there. Of that group, SGA is certainly young enough to still be on it. Luka is young enough to still be on it. Do we have any question that he's going to continue to ascend slash stay at this level for five more years?
Luka?
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty good bet to be on this list.
Okay. So we're going to put Luka. So Luka and SGA, are we putting the two of them on there? Are we confident SGA stays at this level?
I'm not exceedingly confident. I mean, you're also considering there's going to be the ascension of so many other younger players who are going to be closer to their primes by then. Luka's the only one I would say I'm super confident in. After that, I would say Tatum, and then I would say SGA.
How about Victor Wembanyama?
In that order. Victor Wembanyama and Anthony Edwards have to be on this list, right?
I mean, for those of you just joining us, that's where this conversation began. I said if I was starting a team right now, the only player I would take ahead of Anthony Edwards is Wembanyama.
Those are the only, and I think those two guys start the list for me. 5 years from now, those are the two players. in whom I'm most confident.
Rather than trying to take off guys from this list, let's just start from scratch.
Well, I think we have to leave at least one spot open as well for essentially players who aren't even in the NBA yet. I think, you know, whether you want to say Cooper Flagg, the kid going to Duke, or someone else, or maybe even someone
who'll be. Leave it to Bubba to bring up the kid who's going to Duke. You've already got Cooper Flagg first team all NBA 5 years from now?
5 years from now is highly plausible. Yeah. I mean, whether you want to say
plausible.
Him or not,
he hasn't even played in college yet. Yeah. And he's a high school kid from Maine.
Time out. We do have a Cooper Flagg expert on the set. Jack has called Cooper Flagg
Again,
games
if you don't
in
want
New
to
Jersey.
Say Cooper Flagg, I'm just saying it's highly likely. Was Anthony Edwards in college 5 years ago? No, he was in high school.
Actually, no, that's not right. He was in. I mean,
we know how age works.
He was drafted.
I think it's very plausible.
Cooper Flagg is that good.
He has the size and all around skill set. Everything is projectable to the next.
Is he the first pick in the draft next year?
Easily, and it's a good draft as well. I would also throw a name in the hat for Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, who are both going to Rutgers. Both have
those are the best players in this year's draft.
Those three players will have a chance.
Okay,
but to be clear, Cooper Flagg. Didn't half of Duke transfer out, by the way?
Yeah,
it feels like half
seven
of
guys
transferred away because he's going to come in and be the star. One way or another, listen, you all may be right. There's no way in the world I'm projecting a high school kid right now to be first-team All-NBA in 5 years.
I agree with you.
Fair.
He's not LeBron.
The next thing you know, people are going to be saying that UConn could beat an NBA team in a playoff season.
Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that would be insane. So anyway, okay.
Well, this list will be wrong.
Take him off the list. Bubba, I'm going to let you pick the first name on the list. Who's the first name who goes on this list?
Cooper Flagg.
Oh, see, I knew you were
going to
say
if he was
that.
Going to UConn, you would never say
Don't
Cooper Flagg.
Don't make me regret doing a nice thing. I was trying to do a nice thing.
I said it could be anyone. It doesn't have to be Cooper Flagg.
No,
I
mean, good realistically, deed goes unpunished. You're telling me you believe.
Oh, it's such an easy game.
You believe it's likely. That
five years ago,
a player who was
Anthony
not yet
Edwards
in
was
college.
A freshman in Georgia.
Yes,
so that's... So why would it not be a person who's going to be a freshman this year? I don't.
Well, but
I don't
my point is, we don't know who they are. So if we're going to project that.
I'm just saying. Well, do we have to say the person's? Why can't we just say, it'll be like Leighton. It's like random person from, you know, in high school right now.
But let's just do something we know. Okay, right now, fine. Jokic, Giannis, Tatum, SGA, and Luka are all going to be on the first. We think that's going to be the first team.
I'm picking Victor as my number one.
Were any of these guys not at least in college 5 years ago?
I can't do the math.
But Luka came over. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Hembo has gotten very frustrated by this. Okay. Bubba, pick a player and not Cooper Flagg.
Wembanyama
is one. Cam, pick our next player.
Luka.
Luka is two. Pineapple Jack.
Anthony Edwards.
Ant is three. Hembo.
Keep me out of this.
No, pick a player for crying out loud who lights your rocket.
I will pick... Paolo Banchero lights my rocket.
We'll go with Paolo Banchero.
I like that
He's only 21. It means in 5 years he'll only be 26.
I get it. But how old is Jason Tatum?
26.
He's 26. So in 5 years he'll be 31. None of the guys on this year's list are that old.
The prime of an NBA player on average is about 28. And so I'm kind of using that math to inform my selections.
A name that was thrown around was Ja Morant.
What? Ooh, how old is Morant?
That's interesting.
Is he going to come back and be like it's been a any number of different ways that you don't need me to explain to you? It's been a rough go here.
He'll be 29.
Then. Okay. Yeah.
That's a good one, Brandon. That's a really good one.
But forgetting everything else. With the reckless abandon with which he plays, has kind of an Iverson-esque kind of reckless abandon. Does he set himself up for injury? How old was Iverson the last time he was
Iverson?
Still Iverson. Like before he went to Denver, I don't even have it in my head. What was the last year that AI was AI?
He won his last scoring title at 29.
So that's how old you're telling me that
John Morant has his 20s. He's got his 20s.
I mean, anyone who has listened to me for a long time knows, you know, I love that kid's
game.
He's
breathtaking.
I love his game. He's so good.
Lights your rocket.
But there's so many things to be afraid of with him, right? I mean, in every way that one can mean that. There's a lot of stuff to be concerned about. Is there anyone we're forgetting?
I'm still thinking Tyrese Maxey's a good pick. He's going to be, in 5 years, he'll be 28.
I think Chet Holmgren is also worth considering.
That was what I was going to say. He went head to head with Wembanyama this year.
In any other year, he's winning Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's also like a key contributor on the number one seed in the better conference. He was awesome this year.
Yeah,
And so, super skilled, long, has all of the
We don't everything. Have SGA on this list.
I'm fine with that. He'll be almost 31 at that point.
I don't know. I think his game ages very well.
5 years is a super long time in basketball years.
Cam.
Yes?
I need a fifth name. If we're putting...
I mean, if you're telling me that, I'm picking Tyrese Maxey for sure, but...
You're picking Tyrese Maxey over who?
Who are the other ones?
Ja Morant. Am I putting Paolo Banchero on this list?
I would put Paolo over Tyrese Maxey.
Well, we already have Paolo on the list.
He was 21, Victor, 6, and 5 at 21 years old on a team that wound up as a 5 seed in the Eastern Conference.
I have Victor, Luka, Ant, and Paolo on my list right now. They're all one-name guys. Also, you don't need us. I mean, the NBA is in good shape.
Love that.
We need
a
fifth name.
I bet it's someone that's not in the league yet.
Tyron Stokes, class of 26.
Bubba.
Oh, my God.
I mean, are we willing to say
210.
Nikola Jokic is not going to be dominating the NBA anymore by then?
That's
He'll
a
be
long
old.
Time from now.
You tell him he's not going to be
not
dominating.
Not that old.
Who do you think is the best candidate of the guys remaining? I mean, you're the actual voter here.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll still have a vote then. I don't know, Jason Tatum, Ja.
You think Tatum at 31 is still?
I don't know. I mean,
still that player.
I feel like guys are still good at what Brandon?
Zion?
I don't think so. Like, you just can't count on him to stay healthy for a month, much less 5 years. I love him, Tyrese Halliburton.
Halliburton's a good one.
He's really good. Is he that level good?
No, he's not. He's not that.
He got banged up
5 years from now. He might be.
I'm going to go SGA. I'm going to say
it's a safe pick.
I like
at least.
It.
I'm
going to
say SGA. So our picks are Victor, Luka, Ant, Paolo, and SGA. Remind us of that in June of 2029. We'll see how we did. In the meantime, Embiid plays tonight. Yes or no?
Yes.
And who wins?
The Knicks win tonight.
All right. We'll see what winds up happening.
Hate to say it.
And we'll be the place to talk about it tomorrow. See you then. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.